Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 468. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company's senior SEO, Scott Van Ack. We've had quite the week. We're both kind of reeling and just trying to get through this. Anyway, we won't get into why. It's just, you know, running a business, life, all that stuff, right?
Life is busy, and I'm a single dad this week, just for the week, and I'm not going to whine about that because people are going to make fun of me for it, but for all you single, permanent, full-time single parents out there, I don't really feel it because this is pretty easy in comparison, but
yeah, no doubt.
It's not fun.
No, it's always something else, right? Okay, well, as many of you, if you've been keeping in touch at all in the Googlescape, you had to be under a rock if you have been, because if you haven't heard about this big search document leak, essentially it's what the industry believes is a leak of Google's algorithm, aspects of its algorithm anyway. And it is pretty, well, it's considerable. It's huge. The data is very intense. Definitely not 101 data. Thankfully, what you can take from it is fairly one-on-one, at least the way we've got this put down today. The main caveat is, and I'll quote this from Google. What else would they say, though? You got to keep that in mind. But we would caution against making inaccurate assumptions about search based on out-of-context, outdated, or incomplete information. We've shared extensive information about how search works and the types of factors that our systems weigh, while also working to protect the integrity of our results from manipulation, unquote. So what are they really saying? Nothing, really. They're just saying, yeah, do what you will with this. We're not confirming or denying that it's currently being used.
I would say, so a little background, the leak contains 2,596 modules, which each contain a total of over 14,000 potential ranking attributes. And I think the way I see what Google's trying to say is, we can't confirm that Google is actively using all of those modules and all those ranking attributes. So that's one thing. So if you see an attribute and you're like, I knew I should do that thing, and then you go out and do it, or you don't do it, or whatever, it might have no effect at all. We don't know if they're all actually using all of them. Another thing is that no details are out there with how Google is scoring each of these attributes. So they're weighed differently, and we don't know how that's being weighed. So again, if you act on anything we're about to say, or if you look at the actual document, which is insanely massive, and decide to try to, you know, pick apart and make your own assumptions, there's going to be a lot of guesswork, at least for a while. So just keep that in mind. Just because you see something on that list doesn't mean 100% it's being used currently.
Yeah, if you want to nerd out and check it out, go for it. But it's full on Nerdville. You've got to really dig in. And we were talking about it earlier. We were so glad that someone else did the work. Mike King did a great job of pulling this apart. He's one of the, wouldn't hesitate to say, the more brilliant people in our industry. And he really digs into this and he loves it. So it's Mike King from iPullRank.com. And he's noted a few things. First of all, it appears it's accurate as of March 2024. You did mention how many there were and that it doesn't include weights. We want to stress that again, because none of this stuff is going to tell you that. What I found the most compelling, and we're going to get into it, but most compelling is that it really confirmed a lot of what we thought and frankly knew from practice that Google is denying. And there's some sweetness to that. I know that there's this outcry from Mike and probably a few others that Rand Fishkin should get an apology from Google, because Google occasionally mocked him for saying these particular attributes were true. I guess he's a spokesperson, so they want to apologize and go for it. I think that we've all got thicker skins than that. I would hope so anyway. Anywho, it's just, we just expect them not to tell us the truth. It's their job, but they can't tell us everything. And we've seen enough evidence to know that it's very likely true. We just can't be guaranteed because we don't work at Google. anyway, let's jump into some of this. Some of the main things are, number one, and I preface again, we're basing this off data we don't know all the detail of, but it seems pretty likely all this is true. Number one, Google does use clicks in their ranking algorithm. So if you someone clicks to your site and they click, go right back to Google for the search term, but Google thought you were the best search, like best search result, and someone comes right back, that's not a good sign. Someone goes there and they spend a long time. They don't call it dwell time in their systems, but it's essentially a dwell time factor. Then, okay, this is good. Google's delivering a good result. It just made too much sense that they would include this in their algorithm. They kept saying they didn't, but it does make perfect sense. And I'm glad we see that they do. Next, Google does have a sandbox for new websites. They're on the record saying they absolutely do not have a sandbox. And, you know, it's one of those things. A representative, in this case, John Mueller, said that, could easily say that and just go, it's not called a Google sandbox. It's called the sand bin. I mean,
yeah, the play box. It's the play box. You know, it's so annoying that they would try to hide that, because it's obvious. If you launch a new site and you see the ranking spike for the first set amount of time and then drop right away, like, clearly there's something going on there. Like, you can see it.
Yeah. So
like, the again, earth is round. Don't fool me.
Right. So what they're saying is, you've got a new website. We don't trust you quite well. Your content may be great, and maybe you'll see that spike and then you'll drop a bit, because we're going, who are you? Let's find out if this is really worthwhile, and are we being tricked or whatever? And of course, all of this, nearly all of these algorithmic things we're going to talk about today, are there because of spammers. They've required this, between that and also surfacing and defining and organizing the world's information is no an easy feat, but you know, Google does use Google Chrome data in its algorithms. I thought that was very interesting. I mean, it makes good sense. They've got a lot of data there. I don't know how well that's going to go over, though. I would think that regulators wouldn't like that too much.
I guess to delete my history real quick here.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, so they are using that, and I guess that helps with them determining dwell time, clicks, all that stuff. So why not keep that information and use it? Link velocity is a thing. Now, I haven't mentioned that in a long time, but we did mention it during our course there, our 9-part series. So how quickly you build links to your website is important. If all of a sudden out of the blue you're getting thousands of links, well, something's probably up. Now, if Google could see that you had an article on there linked to from the Wall Street Journal, well, okay, you've deserved it. They can see that and there's a connection. But if you're just all of a sudden getting it and they're all from low quality sites or questionable sites, or even, you know, they're just, it's just fishy. Yes. That's something they can see and they do take note of. One thing I thought was just a good confirmation is disavow does not appear in any of the documentation, which means it's likely uncoupled from the algorithm. It was Mike King actually thought it was a just confirmation that it was kind of a its own little sandbox. It's something they're playing with. They're using it to train their models, that kind of thing, which again makes good sense. And why a lot of people weren't getting any results from submitting disavows wasn't helping them at all. Yeah. And why they say don't bother using them anymore. All right. Other confirmations and notes of interest. Why don't we take a few at a time each, or whatever you want. Why don't you go for this? Oh, you're muted.
There we go. I'm muted, just like my wife likes it. Sorry, tangent. So some other confirmations, notes of interest and things from Mike's article. Anchor text or anchor mismatch. So relevance is required on both sides of the link. It's kind of obvious stuff, but it's good to get confirmation on this. We've been saying that your anchor text, the content that comes from, where you link to, it all has to be relevant, obviously.
I guess just to clarify, I mean, you sort of did, but so if you get a link from a hairstylist to your car sales company, it's pretty weak link. If it's another, like perhaps it's the manufacturer linking, like car manufacturer linking to your website. Well, there's relevance on both sides. So just to be completely clear there, I think it's really important because a lot of people do a lot of link building and it's crap. So you got to keep that in mind.
Totally. SERP demotion, a signal indicating demotion based on factors observed from the SERP, so search engine result page, suggesting potential user dissatisfaction with the page as likely measured by clicks. So that's a quote from Mike King, and I have to, you added this one, so I have to.
Yeah, I'll take it. It's okay. I guess it's just, it is kind of a black box, this one. And I just added it because it was of interest. And that is that there is some kind of a demotion based on all the data they're seeing. It could be that the click data, it could be, I would imagine, dwell time, that kind of stuff. Anyway, all that can be impacted, and perhaps that's what the SERP demotion is actually called, that the SERP demotion.
There's a nav demotion, which is likely to do with poor navigation experience. And I mean, this is one of the first things we do with an audit or you know, when we're doing actual SEO on the site or a design or whatever, is your navigation has got to be good. It's got to be relevant. It's got to be clear. I don't really know what else to say about that, but I have seen sites where the navigation is just absolutely horrendous and you can't find links to anything. And, you know, don't be that site. I don't think it's hard to avoid a navigation demotion, but, you know, if you have tough nav, it's, you know, don't.
Yeah. All right. I'll take the next one if you want. So exact match demotion. Well, for the longest time, exact match domain. So you'd get, I want to rank for top or best Victoria Plumber. So I'm going to buy best victoriaplumber.com. And that it worked
awesome for a long time.
It worked so well, man. Yeah. Holy cow. So now they've actually got a demotion in there. If they see that you have an exact match domain, it's going to have less impact on any kind of ranking. Doesn't mean that they're saying you aren't going to rank. It, you know, if you have a great site and just happen to have the domain, fine. It's just that you're not going to get an advantage from that. I would say that I wouldn't, you know, there's other aspects to that that you can't fake, which is that are beneficial, which is people may link to you because that's the name of your website and they're using that as the link text. So
yeah, it's true.
Exact match domain has some benefits in a different way. Product review demotions. This appears to be related to the 2023 product reviews update. Mike King, that's a quote from Mike King. So I put a link in there in our show notes. Product reviews was a big thing in 2023, caused a lot of hell for a lot of people who had affiliate sites that were using pretty much unprofessionally copied, spun reviews from people who actually knew what they're talking about and were sometimes beating them out in rankings. So this is part of that. Location demotion. So if your site is actually global or super global, some of the terms they used, perhaps that will be demoted in a local ranking. So if you aren't really a local company, local companies would show first. Makes good sense. And typically global companies aren't, you know, they're working with a much bigger client anyway, or different clients. So I would expect that makes good sense for all involved. And oh my gosh, what a shock. There's a porn demotion.
Gee, well, that's unfortunate.
About. So if it's porn, well, it's demoted.
If you don't have a porn site, don't put porn on your site. I guess that's the lesson with that one.
There you go. Indexing tier. So ideally, links should come from fresh or top tier pages on your website. This is just the ideal. So if you're getting a link from something that's deep within someone's website, it's going to have less impact than something that's closer to the top or from a very popular page. It's good sense. Again, homepage page rank. This shows that new pages are still assigned a page rank based on their distance from the homepage. That is until they can generate their own calculation for page rank. So once a page actually has a chance to get links, get read, and there's a certain amount of time that's passed, Google's going to sort of give you a base level, kind of a generic page rank based on your site's overall score from your homepage in this case. All right, what's next?
Yeah, I'm surprised to see this. Font size and weight are actually having a bearing. I feel like this goes back to 1999. You know, like we used to put text in bold and you make it bigger. And I'm actually surprised to see that on the list, which is cool.
But keep in mind, can you imagine how small a weight that has?
Oh, it's going to be minuscule for sure. Yeah. But, you know, it just tells me that, hey, if it makes sense to make something a little bit bigger on your site or to bold it or whatever, do it. Don't do it for Google. Do it if it makes sense. And maybe you'll get a little morsel of kickback from it.
You know, and you can actually refer from that yes, headings have an impact. Whereas remember how many times they said it didn't?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's true, right?
They're bolded. They're a clear structure of a page, which is why we just totally ignored them and said, yes, it does.
Yeah, well, that's true. Like we've never internally thought that it didn't, but
no.
Document truncation. So yeah, put your best content forward because only so much content is often considered. So, you know, don't put your morsel of gold at the footer of your page, you know, keep your good stuff up high. Short content is scored for originality. Originality content score. I'm guessing that's the name of the variable.
Yeah, it's the variable.
But not sure exactly how this works.
Yeah,
I put it there because you wrote that and I read it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just that it's something worth noting because short content has the ability to rank and it's scored for its originality. How does that work? I have no idea. We could try to figure it out just by guesswork, but there's nothing from this document, which is what we're talking about.
Page title match is still weighed positively to a query. I think this is also filed under the duh category. I think because we see, you know, obvious correlations between rankings and the content in a page title. Not always, but almost always.
Yeah, and that's why what drives me crazy when I see a homepage that just says home in their title.
Yeah.
And it happens so often.
Okay. I love it when we get those clients though, because we can have a huge impact with within a short amount of time often. So
yeah.
So that's kind of fun.
It does make so it's got some pretty easy wins to make us look good. There's no doubt.
Totally.
Dates are very important. Now, this is pretty interesting. Again, obvious, but something that a lot of people forget and they try to fake. Google always wants to provide fresh content. So it's always trying to determine how old content is, if it's relevant and new. So if you don't have dates on the page, they're going to try and guess it. And if you just put a page up there and you don't put a date on it, you think you're fooling Google, you're not. There's just too many other ways they can get that information. Please put a date on there. It helps everyone. Things change over time. Even the most evergreen content might have some aspects that change, and it's just nice to know how old content is. And if you're worried about it looking too old, go in and update it regularly, even if it's just changing the date after you've reviewed it. That's cool. At least you've reviewed it and it's showing its relevance. Video sites are treated differently. So and I thought this was interesting, if more than 50% of your pages on your website has videos, it's being scored differently. I guess it's a set of different algorithms that are for video websites. Never knew that specifically, but it's always interesting to see. Your money or your life websites have their own score. Again, that is a given for those in the industry that know that if you're doing anything that is, you know, if you, I don't know, it's a health product or something that's going to save your life, or you're giving payday loans, all that kind of stuff, you're in a whole different bucket of how Google evaluates you. And that's been the case for quite a while. Can't remember when that update came out, but it's been the number of years, quite a number. And this one kind of, I don't know, it, Mike King took it a little more intensely than I would have, but it still kind of makes me wonder. The actual statement is small personal site, and it's all one word. Google notes when it discovers and considers a personal website. Now, why? Right now, we're seeing an un, like amazing amount of websites that are personal that are just plummeting on rankings. What's going on? Does this have any bearing on it? Who knows? But it is actually something that they keep note of, which is an indicator of some kind. We'll have to see what that comes to, how that washes out in the laundry over time. All right. So what are some of the quick takeaways, Mike? Anyway, some quick takeaways for Michael King for moving forward based on this article.
21 years and you still don't know my name. What do I have to do to be seen? So here are just a handful of quick takeaways. These were actually in the Search Engine Land article, which was written by Mike King as well. It's a different article than what Ross pulled from above, but they're both super extensive. Read them both if you have time. But these are like page title length can be as long as you want. He's just seeing further evidence here that supports this. We've been talking about that. I think a few episodes ago, we talked about page title length and how it's not that critical anymore. Use fewer authors on more content. And use authors who offer specific focus, subject matter expertise, and write for other publications. So again, just having fewer authors writing more quality focused content is helpful. Focus on link relevance from sites that have traffic. You know, kind of a no-brainer thing if you're building inbound links. You got to have the relevance and you want sites with traffic. Google seems to weigh those links a little bit more heavily if they're traffic sites. Default to originality rather than long form content. So this kind of goes up to what we were saying a minute ago with what was short content is scored originality or scored for originality. So kind of the same thing. Having a short, original, helpful piece is better than having a big long form content that doesn't really tell you much. So.
Or that isn't original. It could be telling you a lot, but it's all stuff that's being stated online.
True. Yeah. Yes. And make sure your dates associated with a page are consistent. And we just talked about dates, but yeah, make sure your XML sitemap date, the last modified date on the post, the published date, make sure everything is consistent. If you're using something like WordPress, it's typically going to be consistent anyways. You probably won't have to do anything about that. But if you've embedded custom schema where you've manually added dates, things like that, you may have to go back periodically when you update a post and update dates in that schema.
One addendum there is that Mike King typically works on enterprise websites. So that's why he's getting into some of the weeds here. This is stuff that you won't necessarily have to deal with. But
very true.
Yeah, good to know.
And use old domains with extreme care. So if you're thinking about buying an old expired domain that has a history to it, you know, make sure there's a really good reason for it. Don't be buying it just because you like it. If it's coincidentally your business name or you have a really solid reason to want to buy it, you can go for it. Make sure you put up really good content that is relevant to the domain name. Google can treat a lot of these as spam. Spammers buy up expired domain names all the time. So there is a risk there, but there can be benefits if, you know, you use extreme care.
Another addendum there actually is if you are getting a quote new domain, it may not be new. Just because it wasn't just, you know, it's not just expired, or you may not know that fact. Actually, it may be that it was a bad domain 5 years ago. Hopefully Google won't hold that against you, but if you can avoid that one and pick another, do it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good point. If you're buying at your registrar buying one, and you don't know, maybe check check Wayback Machine or archive.org and see if there is a history with that domain. And if there is, you know, try to do a bit of research into what that history is. Cause if you're going to build a whole business off of that, you know, you should know that first.
Yeah, definitely.
And then as Mike King says, and Ross and I say almost every week, every episode, I should say, you know, make your content the gold standard content, you know, and I've said it like 10 times today already.
Yeah. Ultimate content. Just make it great. The one thing that comes out of this that I guess we could clear up more often is that it doesn't have to be long. It just has to be original and great. We have said that before, but just to be clear, we've got actually, I was meeting with a prospect yesterday and I've been telling them time and time again how impressed I am with their content. They actually have a 6-person content team, which is impressive as is, but their content's fantastic. They really do a great job. They've got authors, authorship. They needed some work on that. That's some stuff I can help them with. But I mean, overall, they've just been very impressive. And yet what I was getting at is their content isn't very long. Sometimes it's very long, but overall, I think they have a great balance. And I think they're just doing what they should do, which is create content that's helpful for everyone. That's the gold standard right there. Whew, that's a lot. And I know we've probably scratched the surface, but it's really all that is needed for a 101 show. And some of it kind of got a little more complex than that. But it's very encouraging for you listeners. If you have been listening to us for a long time and you've been following our experience, again, this just beautifully confirms everything we've been saying. Added a few things that are interesting. We're going to keep an eye on, but really it's just, well, to us, we already knew because we've seen the results. It makes, you know, when we're doing work on client site, it works. It just works. So we already knew this stuff was working, but it's always nice to hear this and see it now.
Oh, reassurance is great.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's go into some of this other news. What's next?
Yeah. Oh, man, it's going to get easy now. We got some light stuff to talk about. My screen just scrolled. What's happening? Here we go. So a couple things that Google is testing in search results. Sorry, I got totally lost there. I'm stuck in the woods. Google is testing a blue visit button within search result snippets. Search Engine Land reported this. I can't remember who authored it. It's basically just a big blue button that says visit underneath the organic listing. If rolled out, obviously this could dramatically increase click-through rates for those sites that get the button. How you get the button, we don't know. That's just all a test at this point. Appears to only occur on mobile devices, and Barry Schwartz is very skeptical that this will make it into mainstream results. He said right in his article, this is a big if. So he's not sure, we're not sure, but keep an eye out for that big blue button. I'd love to see screenshots in the wild and get an idea of how to get that, because if they do roll it out, you better believe everybody's going to want it. So
yeah. So next up here, Google is testing special snippet treatment for Reddit search results. This is an interesting bit, actually. There's a lot to this, but these new results include upvote counts, comment counts, snippets from actual comments, providing more information, etc. Now, as you noted here, it's unclear why Google's giving special treatment to Reddit, but yet to keep in mind, they struck a $60 million deal to use Reddit's content for their AI training models. So I think they're already so embedded in Reddit that they might as well use some of it to benefit their results. But we also, both of us and most of the world, has seen a lot of issues with Reddit and the content that it provides. So I don't know how that's going to track.
AI overviews powered by Reddit. That explains a lot for what we're going to talk about in a minute.
No doubt. Yeah, it's definitely not the authority on content quality or certainty.
Not at all.
But yeah, there is a lot of content on Google right now from Reddit. So, adding this information, upvote counts and all that stuff is not a bad idea. Why not?
It's fun. I want Google to get a special deal with all my sites that I work with to do cool things.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about reputation and expired domains abuse. Woo! So exciting.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company, Senior SEO, Scott Vanna. I can't speak today.
Yes, you got my name right that time.
I got that. Yes, I got that right. I know everyone's been pins and needles, just so excited about us to talk. You're going to talk about reputation and expired domain abuse. How cool is that?
So exciting. So yeah, if you've seen some sites that are abusing expired domains or abusing site reputation, well, I've got news for you. You can report them now in the spam tool. That's how exciting this is. So these are just a couple new reasons that you can, or a couple new categories you can use when reporting spam. I don't know what else to say. I felt like I should include this because it's interesting a little bit for some people, not Ross apparently. Other categories include things like cloaking and sneaky redirects, hidden text links, hidden text, doorway pages, other and unsure. So there you go. If you're unsure or you're other, now, yeah.
Fully expect that this is not going to have any immediate impact or even month to month impact, unless it's a dramatic find. It's just going to be probably put into a training set for their own systems. So
I would guess there's got to be some sort of counter as well or something. Like, they need to have so many people report a site before they'll actually care. Otherwise, it's just like, just report all your competitors. And obviously, Google's not going to do anything for one-off reports unless, you know, they spot obvious reasons too. So
I wonder if they apply the same algorithms to this.
We should go back and check that leak and find a reported site variable or something.
Yeah. Now, this is definitely your department. You do a lot with Google Search Console. So what's up?
Yeah, so I have actually been using the links report in Google Search Console less and less and less as time goes by, because Google keeps showing fewer and fewer links. So it's making it, you know, kind of not very useful for the most part. But in the last few weeks, Google has shown a huge decline in links reported. Barry noted for Search Engine Roundtable, seroundtable.com, that his displayed links in the report in Search Console have been cut by about 40% in the last few days. And he's been seeing it year over year go down and down and down. And I'm sure SE Roundtable is seeing an increase in actual links. Let's be real. You know, he's a pretty big name in the space. So, you know, if you're seeing your links go down, don't necessarily panic. Take a look at some other tools. I tend to use SEMrush for link data instead, just because it seems more accurate than Google. Google Search Console used to be really transparent in this regard, but I mean, if they're only going to show a small percentage of your links, it's not a very useful tool, really, in my opinion. So yeah, consider using third-party tools if you want to assess your links. So,
all right.
this is fun.
Yeah. Well, as we spoke about in the last episode, Google has introduced, man alive, lots of
introduced
today.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Google AI overviews into search. Now, they're under fire, very reasonably, for giving rather dangerous and wrong answers. Now, you put this together. I know you're excited about it. You should go for it.
Well, I think we could maybe alternate or something, but I guess the real point is if you've done a search for some obscure search in Google, and I don't think this is in Canada yet, so that sucks, and you're in the States, you might find some fun stuff. But the AI overviews are just so wrong in so many levels. So do you want to just give some examples that we want to do?
Sure.
Here?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. So one is for a search for cheese not sticking to pizza. And the AI overview says a bunch of stuff, but it recommends that you can add a 1/8 cup of non-toxic glue to your pizza sauce to give it more tackiness. So I'm sure that's in every food blogger's blog. There was another one. Somebody had asked if a dog had ever played in the NHL, and apparently Posipsil, a fourth round pick in 2018, played 63 games for the Calgary Flames. So I guess there was a dog in the NHL. I missed that one. I missed it. I don't know how they got the skates on him, but that would have been fun. And then one other one that was kind of my favorite is the health benefits of taking a bath with a toaster include a fun way to unwind and wash away stress.
And as I said earlier, I think you'll feel really grounded after that too.
You feel so grounded. You're not going to be stressed out. That's for sure.
One I saw actually mentioned in this article is that one of them said that there are 13 U.S. presidents that graduated from the University of Wisconsin at Madison earning 59 degrees.
59?
Where the hell do they get this stuff? It's just inspiring. And there are some wonderful, you just type in AI overview fails or Google AI overview fails, and there's some brilliant ones, just brilliant. I'm actually loading one now to see if I get some good ones so I can share more. Here, AI overview. Here are some tips for remembering your password. Try variations of your name. Use a passphrase. Make it long. Use poetic language. I mean, come on. Like, I get it starts to get better from poetic language on, but variations of your name? No, that's not secure. There is another one here. Technical stuff. Okay, these are nerdy.
I think one of my favorites, I forgot about this one. This is one Ross actually sent to me a few days ago. And according to AI overviews, it's actually very common for 5 to 10 cockroaches to live inside your penis every year. So I debated whether or not I should even say this one because it's on the inappropriate side of things. But I really hope that one's not true.
I really hope not. But here's a screenshot of one. Gasoline can be used in some cooking recipes, but it's not recommended for household cooking because it's highly flammable. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's.
I think that might just be how it wrote that, but it's bad.
Oh, I get what they're saying. They're saying, they're trying to say you can use it.
But that was word for word, though. It was definitely not good to,
So don't put it in your chili, though. Chili is already dangerous enough.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I mean, there's endless amount of fun right now in all of this. I just can't get over how much is happening in AI. We didn't even get to touch on all of that that's happening. Again, we could do full shows on that. I don't have time for that. Neither of us do, but who knows? Maybe we'll have to. It's getting crazy. So until next time, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Van Ack, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions, please share them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 Podcast on Facebook. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air twice a month on WMR.fm.
Awesome. Thank you for listening, everybody.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.